we're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go to your calls in just a few moments. By the way, the number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK. Translates to 888-275-4265. But a couple of comments about the World Wide Web and the extraordinary ministry that we have to the world on the web. In fact, it is so extraordinary that when I got the details just a couple of days ago, I wanted documentation. I actually had a hard time believing the statistics. Last month, we had visits from 189 countries. I mean, this is staggering. And again, I wanted the proof because it was so staggering. Thousands of visits from Canada, from Australia, but visits from all over the world, China, Pakistan, Tanzania, Iraq, Iran, Algeria, Paraguay, Afghanistan, Madagascar, Syria, and the list goes on and on. 189 countries and territories. We even have a lot of requests that come in from the Sudan. And that's interesting in itself because the Sudan has split into two countries. The South Sudanese are now expressing thanks to God that they are free at last. No more war. We were born in war. We grew up in war. We were married in war. In fact, the war has killed literally millions of people. But they are now a new nation about the size of Texas. Extraordinary problems facing them. But again, here is a country reaching out to the Christian Research Institute for answers during a difficult time. And who knows how things will turn out in this very poor area, this very poor new country. But we can pray for the world and thank God that the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, is literally reaching around the world. Thank God for that. And of course, in thanking God for that, I thank God for all the people that He has raised up to stand with this ministry so that we are empowered, enabled to make a difference while there's yet time. For those that support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute this month, do remember we're sending out the book, The End of Christianity, as our way of saying thank you. It is a book on theodicy, finding a good God in an evil world. It's written by William Dembski. It's hardback. It's a $22.99 retail book. But I believe in this book so much I wanted to put in your hands to equip you. And not only do I believe in this book, but again, so much that I've scheduled Bill Dembski to be with us every Tuesday this month to talk about the book and to give you an opportunity to ask the premier intelligent design advocate your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So anything you want to know about origins, this is the time to call. Tomorrow's broadcast, Tuesday, we will have Bill Dembski on your questions on the issue of origins. And do remember how one views their origins determines how they live their life. If you believe that you're a function of random chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know that you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Dale. Dale is listening on the web in British Columbia, Canada. Hi, Dale.
Hey, Hank, how are you doing?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Yes, I have a question about mainly Rick Warren and Jack Den MP's comments about him. I was wondering what your take is on Rick Warren and Jack Den MP.
Well, I don't know about Jack Van Impe's comments with respect to Rick Warren. What I can tell you is Jack Van Impe is a date setter, even though he claims not to be a date setter. The facts
right.
say otherwise, and he is not someone who is to be trusted. He's involved in selling and sensationalism and sophistry and sloppy journalism, and therefore I don't take a whole lot of what he says seriously. If you're going to listen to him, what you have to do is make sure that you are able to, swallow the meat and spit out the bones.
Right. So that what you would say about Rick Warren, or?
No, I wouldn't say that about Rick Warren. I've known Rick Warren for years. Rick is very serious about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And whether I agree with him on secondary issues or minor issues, of course, is not a big point because we can debate those vigorously. I appreciate very much what he is attempting to do in terms of equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened. So I think he's
fair
a serious enough. Christian making a serious difference.
Right. Okay, thank you very much for taking my call.
Hey, you got it. Thank you so much for your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Andy. Andy is listening on Bot Radio in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Andy.
How's it going, Hank?
Good.
My question is concerning immigration. I know God ordained the nations, but at the same time, we're called to help our brothers in need. And while it's true that some people come here from, specifically Mexico, without good intentions, the majority of people, I think, do probably come here, in order to better themselves and better their families. Just kind of holding those two points of tension, I think, what's your take on whether or not we should seal the border completely, just your general views on immigration based on the Bible?
Well, I think this is one of those issues that the Bible doesn't deal with directly, but does deal with in principle. And as someone who's immigrated to two different countries, I was 3 years old when we immigrated to Canada, and then 14 years old when we immigrated from Canada to the United States, I'm very thankful for the opportunity my family had to immigrate from Holland, first to Canada, and then to the United States. And I think that whenever you immigrate, whenever you become part of another country, another culture, what you have to do is take seriously your responsibilities within that culture. And therefore, you want to make sure that when you come into a culture, that you're not just a reckless consumer, but you're a contributor to what happens within that culture. And if that happens, you can better a culture, and you can thank God for the opportunity that we have, the freedoms that we have, and the opportunities that we have to legally go from one country to another country. Again, legality is an operative word in all of this, because if you talk about sealing our borders, you immediately recognize that there is some illegal transporting going on between cultures and between countries and over borders, and illegality is never a good thing.
Okay.
Does that help in principle?
In principle, I guess I'm just hoping for a more concrete answer, but I guess if the Bible doesn't speak to it directly, there's
and
a whole lot else you can say about it.
Right, and the question is posed in a general sense, and so I can only answer it in a general sense, but again, I'm thankful from a personal standpoint for the opportunity we had to immigrate by law, by meeting the standards that were asked of us to meet. I'm thankful for that opportunity. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Jack listening in Missouri, Lake Ozark, Missouri. Hi, Jack.
Yes, I would like to know your take on predestination and the Reformed Church.
Well,
and I'll take on predestination.
Okay, I think I got that question. My view on predestination in the Reformed Church. Kind of interesting in that I grew up in what was called the Reformierte Kerk. That's the way of expressing the Reformed Church, in a sense, in Dutch terms, my mother tongue. And so I'm very familiar with the Reformed Church. But a lot of people think of predestination in light of Reformed churches, the equivalent being Presbyterian churches or the Christian Reformed or the Reformed Church in America. And the reality is that predestination is a biblical concept. It's not a Reformed concept. It's a biblical concept. Now, the Reformed have a take on it. And the issue here becomes not whether or not you believe, therefore, in predestination, but what meaning you pour into those words. So the question ultimately is, on what basis are you predestined? Are you predestined in the Reformed sense of compatibilistic freedom or circumstantial freedom, or are you Reformed in your thinking on these issues, or is it possible that God looks down the corridor of time, sees what you would do, and chooses you on that basis? And those aren't the only two possibilities. A lot of times people posit this question by saying, are you Reformed or Calvinistic, or are you Arminian? Those aren't the only two possibilities. I think it's much better that you posit that question from the perspective, are you Calvinist or non-Calvinist in terms of how you think about predestination. We've actually produced an article in the Christian Research Journal that I think is extraordinarily helpful in this regard, in that it takes a good Calvinist thinker talking about predestination and other Reformed concepts and a good non-Calvinist thinker, and they carry on a debate in the Christian Research Journal. And what I like about this is it drives you back into the Word of God so that you can test all things in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. So it drives you back ultimately into the Word of God so you can test all things and hold fast to that which is good. That article is available. I believe it's up on the World Wide Web at equip.org, but if not, you can hang on and receive that article through the Christian Research Institute by either hanging on or giving us a call or writing us at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Eddie. He's listening on KELP, El Paso, Texas. Hi, Eddie.
Hello, Hank. I appreciate you taking my call there. First of all, I want to say hi to you and your people there that make this radio thing going on so great. My question to you is, I hear it referred to in the Bible that the Ten Commandments is a ministry of death. If that's the case, and I want to hang up after I finish my question so I can hear you on the radio, why is it then that God gave the Ten Commandments and we cannot keep them? And again, I appreciate you.
Well, thank you very much for the question. And yes, it is true that we cannot keep the commandments. We cannot keep the law. And that's why the law becomes a schoolmaster, as it were, to drive us to Jesus Christ, who kept the law for us. He did what we could not do. And that's why we say the gospel is not D.O. It's done through the person and work of Jesus Christ. In answering a question like this, we have to look at the purposes of the law. To maintain order in society, to reveal sin, as I just articulated. But also, it is a guide for the believer in living out the Christian life. So there are broad aspects of the law. And we recognize that the civil aspects of the law, which were largely a function of a theocracy and pointed forward to a substance, Jesus Christ, so they're shadows pointing forward to a reality, that's largely fulfilled, and therefore those civil aspects of the law are abrogated. So, for example, shellfish. Is eating shellfish an abomination? President Obama says, according to Scripture, it is. But the Bible doesn't tell us that at all. It says precisely the opposite. Jesus Christ says, it's not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him. It's what proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus Christ declared all foods clean. Again, the civil as well as the ceremonial aspects of the law, ceremonial aspects being the sacrificial system and the dietary laws that I just described, are fulfilled through Jesus Christ. The moral aspects of the law, such as the Ten Commandments, still are efficacious in every way, including the Fourth Commandment, through which we recognize that we have our rest in Jesus Christ, who fulfills all the law for us. So in Jesus Christ, we have our Sabbath rest. So again, in answering the question, we recognize different aspects of the law, but under both the Old and New Testament, we are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, and ultimately in Jesus Christ alone. We'll be right back on the other side of the break with lots more of your questions, including a very interesting question, a question asked oftentimes by skeptics, and that is, what about those who have never heard? Be right back.
Get connected with the Christian Research Institute. Just go to equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. When you receive our e-newsletter, you'll be informed of special discounts, well-researched articles, videos, featured resources, and everything you need to keep you up to date with all that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. So get connected today. Again, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org and click on the Get Connected tab. The Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff will return in just a moment. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition by Hank Hanegraaff is the culmination of over 20 years of faithful study and answering questions on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With short, succinct answers to over 170 questions that stumbled seekers and galvanized skeptics against the historic Christian faith, the complete Bible Answer Book will give you confidence in what you believe and why you believe it. Written in Hank's concise, three-point, easy-to-memorize fashion, the Complete Bible Answer Book is an essential tool for the beginner as well as the seasoned apologist. Consider it your one-stop Christian apologetics handbook. When you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, we'll send you the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition as our way of saying thank you. Order for yourself, a friend, or get a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. Just as helmet lights assist miners to see into the depths of the earth to extract precious gold, there are now lights to help you mine the depths of God's Word. Continuing with the highly useful and memorable Hankronym flip chart series, Hank Hanegraaff introduces memorable keys to understanding what God has said. Lights on your path to reading the Bible for all it's worth. A pocket-sized laminated flip chart based on the acronym LIGHTS. God has spoken, and the Lights flip chart will give you the tools to know what God has said. Available from the Christian Research Institute as our way of saying thank you for your generous support. Request your copy today on the web at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. As an organ of the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the Journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Once again, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is James. He's listening in Canada on KARI, Vancouver, British Columbia. Hi, James.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I needed to get a little more understanding on Colossians 3, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. It was the second part of that verse that I would like you to throw some light on. Your life is hid with Christ in God.
Yeah. Well, remember the context here is that Paul is writing to the Colossians and saying, you have been raised with Christ, and therefore set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things,
right.
For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God.
Right.
And I think what we have to recognize in this equation is that this is a phrase that represents the believer's status in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in context, we see Paul often referring to the already and not yet. And that's a perfect example or illustration of doing just that. The eschaton broke in with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but we await the consummation. And as such, we are hidden with Christ in God. We are safe and secure, positionally righteous. In other words, our position in Christ is one of righteousness, but we are not yet glorified. And that covers the spectrum of what happens, justification, sanctification, and ultimate glorification. And that's why we can say our position in Christ is secure. We're hidden in Christ. We're secure in Christ. Practically, we're still sinners. What takes place when Christ comes and the eschaton receives its consummation is then we will be practically righteous as well. And that's something we still await. And therefore, we recognize that we were raised with Christ. We ought to set our hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, because that's our inheritance. And as people that do that, our eyes, our ears, our minds, our intellects, the entirety of our being is set on heavenly things as opposed to earthly things, because that is what will happen at the consummation of all things. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Judy, listening on Bot Radio in Missouri. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question that I thought I knew the answer to, but in trying to explain it, I realized that I didn't completely understand it. And my question is, what about people who truly have never heard the gospel, and will they go to heaven?
Well, remember that the issue is this. All of us have the light of creation, which is to say, as you look around the universe, you recognize that there's a creator of the universe. Every cause has to have an effect, or every effect, I should say, has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. But not only is the knowledge of God written large in the universe that he has created, but is also written small, as it were, imprinted on the canvas of our consciousness. So we have an outer witness. We also have an inner witness that God is, that God created the universe, and that we are created in the image and likeness of God. So we have that testimony, and Paul lays this out in Romans 1, 2, and 3. If you respond to the light you have, God will give you the further light, which is the light of Christ. Typically, he does that through normative means, which is through human agency. So we bear witness to the world. God sends us to the world. God brings people in the paths of those who are truly seeking after him. And through that, they can receive the light of Christ. But God can do that apart from normative means as well. The Apostle Paul, for example, is a classic example of someone who was reached by supernatural means. Christ appeared to him as he was on the road to Damascus. So the point in saying all of this is not that there's not enough light. The point is to say that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, as Jesus Christ put it to Nicodemus. So as long as we're looking for God, God is not capricious. He's not hiding from us. He's willing to reveal himself to us. In fact, Paul in Acts 17 on Mars Hill in the Areopagus is telling people that precise thing. He's saying that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole world. He determined the exact times and places they should live, and he did that so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far away from each one of us. So again, the point there is God puts us in the exact times and places so that we're in the best possible place to seek him if, in fact, we want to find him.
Okay. And that's basically what I thought the answer to the question was. But I guess I was having trouble connecting the knowledge and, like, basically the God-shaped hole in our heart where we would seek as evidenced by creation, but how we would connect that to Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life. And you did touch on that. So
do you basically understand how it works then?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so again, you can see this in Romans 1, 2, and 3. The light of creation in Romans 1, the light of conscience in Romans 2, and the light of Christ in Romans 3. But again, we all have light. And I would say that it is not the absence of knowledge that damns, it's the despising of knowledge that damns. And I think that's why Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light. And imagine the context of that. Here you have Messiah in their midst, and yet men love darkness to such an extent that they are willing to pawn off his miracles, his person, to Beelzebub, the prince of demons. That's because they love darkness. But if they want light, that light shines in the darkness, and we can apprehend it, and God will give us light, as much light as we could possibly handle.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You got it. And of course, people are not condemned to hell for not believing in Jesus. Rather, they are already condemned because of their sin. So the real question is not how can God send anyone to hell, but how can God condescend to save any one of us? And if ignorance were a ticket to heaven, the greatest evangelistic enterprise wouldn't be a Billy Graham crusade, but a concerted cover-up campaign. Such a campaign would focus on ending evangelism, burning Bibles, closing churches. Why? Because soon no one would have heard of Jesus Christ and everybody would be on their way to heaven. That's the argument to a logical absurdity. But again, the best way of communicating this to people is to let people know that they have light. If they respond to the light, God is willing, ready, able, and desirous of giving them that light. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Robert listening on the web in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Robert.
Hello, Hank. You may have already answered my question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and that is, if we are born out of the womb with a conscience, how is it that we're still fallen? I mean, if we know the difference between right and wrong, how are we still fallen, you know?
Well, first of all, the reality is we are fallen. We're told that by Scripture, and we see that by evidence, which is to say, even children, we recognize, didn't have to learn how to sin. They were born and conceived in sin. So we see the evidence right in front of us. As parents with kids, we know that immediately. We don't have to be taught that. So it is a reality. Now, the fact that we have a conscience is letting us know, again, that we are in God's debt, that we're sinners, and it also brings us into a position of wanting to know the gospel. The entrance requirements into the body of Christ is to recognize that you're a sinner, to be willing to repent of that sin, and then to receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life.
Okay, thank you.
Does that answer the question sufficiently?
Yeah, it's good enough for me. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much for your question, Robert. And of course, knowing the difference between right and wrong is different from doing what we know is right and not doing what we know is wrong. We are held morally culpable for our decisions all the way along the line. We'll never be able to stand in the great assize before God and say, I didn't know any better, because our conscience bears witness that we do, and therefore we are morally responsible before a loving God for what we do. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Ernest. He's listening in Canada, Alberta, Canada, Edmonton. Hi, Ernest.
Come through one after another, and I don't know. I'm just wondering if there was from God, you know, like the sixth dream was just so vivid and ordered, you know, that, you know, I said, hey, gee, somebody knows what I'm going to go through ahead of time. And then after I had that, then I had the seventh dream, and it hasn't happened yet. And in my dream, I die for my faith in Canada. And the scripture came to my mind, and they love not their life unto death. I just wondered, you know, like nobody else has had that dream and or kind of confirmation that I was looking for, you know, and I was just wondering if that's from God or not.
Yeah, I can't answer that question because I can't answer the anecdote. I can't answer the subjective experience, but I can tell you this.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, well, the basic principle is that we are those who are called to suffer for Christ. We are those who are called to be willing to die for Christ. And we are those who are called to proclaim the gospel, to be a light on a hill. So all the elements of your dream bear witness to reality. We are willing to testify even to the point of shedding our own blood. I think the inverse is the problem. The inverse is that while we're called to be ambassadors, most of us have been instead secret agents who have never blown our cover before the unregenerate world. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember the number to dial Monday through Friday at this time, 888-ASK-HANK. It translates to 888-275-4265. Right back with your questions and more.
The Christian Research Institute's website, equip.org, is loaded with free resources you can download anytime. Do a keyword search and find a host of articles on your topic. Listen to a 3-minute Ask Hank program. Watch videos, order books, or stream the Bible Answer Man broadcast right on your computer. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter. If you're looking for a place to sharpen your discernment skills, log on to equip.org today. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back.
Have you ever been asked the question, if God is good, why is there so much evil and suffering in the world? As Christians, how should we respond to this question? In his book, The End of Christianity, Finding a Good God in an Evil World, Dr. William Dembski writes to make peace with three claims. God, by wisdom, created the world out of nothing. God exercises particular providence in the world. And all evil in the world ultimately traces back to human sin. In the process, Dembski brings the reader to a fresh understanding of what the end result of Christianity really means. The radical realignment of our thinking so that we see God's goodness in creation, despite the distorting effects of sin in our hearts and evil in the world. Order The End of Christianity from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Investors are concerned that there's more bad news.
Calling for an end to U.S. military operations.
The world is glued to the news headlines, anxiously awaiting what the future holds. So it's up to believers in Christ to be prepared to give well-reasoned answers about what lies ahead based on sound Bible doctrine.
That's why The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff is such a vital resource for your library. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff covers today's most asked prophecy questions and reveals why answering them correctly matters so much in today's world. The Apocalypse Code will resolve many questions regarding the mysteries of the end times and help you give an informed answer for the hope that is in you. All you really need to know about understanding Revelation is what the rest of the Bible has to say. So order your copy of The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff, now available in softcover. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or look online at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Because the summer can be such a dry time financially at the Christian Research Institute, your generosity this month will be especially meaningful. In return for your support, we'd like to help equip you with The End of Christianity by William Dembski. Until recently, every Christian accepted that natural evil was a result of the fall and our own sin. Then evolution undermined the confidence of multiplied millions. Science seemed to show that animals suffered and died long before the fall. But Dr. Dembski argues persuasively that for a God who exists outside of time, all evil, including natural evil, is the result of human sin, whether the earth is old or young. To donate, call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Greg. He's listening in Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is, are people, some people predestined for hell, do they have no chance of going to heaven even though they accept Christ as their Savior?
Well, I mean, there certainly are systems of thought in which people are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. Those, in fact, were the exact words of John Calvin. So there are systems of thought within Christianity that say that you're created in such a way that you cannot respond to the gospel. In fact, that say so much as that all people are created in such a way that they cannot respond to the gospel, but God regenerates some, the elect, so that they can respond to the gospel and thus be saved. And that's why in the Calvinist system, regeneration always precedes faith. So again, in that system of thought, yeah, specifically people are doomed from the womb to certain destruction. But that is not a system that is adhered to by all Christians. It is a system of thought or a particular theological construct within the pale of orthodoxy.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Hopefully that was a satisfying answer. Look, I mean, I'm just telling it like it is. I mean, there are Christian theologians that hold to that particular position. For example, Calvin said that God not only foresaw the fall of the first man and in him the ruin of his posterity, but also at his own pleasure arranged it. Are not created on equal terms all people? Answer, no. Some are preordained to eternal life, others to eternal damnation. And accordingly, as each has been created for one or the other of those ends, we say that he has been predestined to life or death. Or, said Calvin, God arranges all things by his sovereign counsel in such a way that individuals are born who are doomed from the womb to certain death. So this is a teaching of a whole construct within evangelical Christianity, and we have again tried to help people think about these by in fairness giving the best non-Calvinist and the best Calvinist response to this issue of predestination and whether we should believe in compatibilistic freedom or libertarian freedom. The journal article that I reference in this regard is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can check it out online or just give us a call at 888-7000. CRI. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Mary Ellen, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Wisconsin. Hi, Mary Ellen.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. I am very good as well. My question has to do with Buddhism and the belief in Buddhism. I have some family members who are professed Buddhists, and even given that they were raised in a Christian home, are professed Buddhists. And I'm wondering if there are particular scriptures that would speak specifically, to someone with that belief.
Yeah, very much so. Let me set this up
okay,
so that everybody listening in can kind of get an idea of what's going on here. But Buddhism is a historical offshoot of Hinduism. And so what you are taught as a Buddhist is to embrace a triple gem. You first find refuge in Buddha, then in Buddha's teaching, and finally in the community of Buddhist priests. And of course, the priests are those who guide the devotees along the path to enlightenment. And in Buddhism, there are four noble truths. And this is really instructive to grasp because therein lies the key to witness as well. But the four noble truths in Buddhism are that all life is suffering, that the source of suffering is desire, and that liberation from suffering is found in the elimination of desire, and that desire is eliminated by following an eightfold path. And so the eightfold path is instructive in that they're taught right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right awareness, and right meditation. I think I got all eight there. And by following that path through many reincarnations, they hope to erase karmic debt. And they hope, as a result of erasing this karmic debt, to achieve nirvana, which is the realization of no self And in that way, they attain liberation from suffering, liberation from the endless cycle of life and death and rebirth. So reincarnation plays a huge role in the equation. So what do you say to a Buddhist? Well, in sharp contrast to their teaching, we must exercise disciplines in order to transform our desires as opposed to eliminating our desires. So it's the transforming of desire that is operative. And ultimately, suffering is not overcome through stamping out the self, but through the selfless sacrifice of a sinless Savior. They want to stamp out the self so that they can become one with nirvana. We're saying, no, you don't have to go through this endless cycle of reincarnation, the soul continuously returning in other bodies. No, this body's going to be resurrected. So the hope of resurrection is how we come to peace ultimately with the tragedy of life. The tragedy of life is not an easy thing to come to grips with. So we say through resurrection we come to grips with the maladies of a fallen world. We look past the maladies to the hope, and we recognize the reality that in this world we are always going to have trouble and we're never going to overcome it, but there's one who did overcome it, and therefore we rest in him, we receive him, he transforms our life and gives us peace in the midst of continuing storms.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes, very much so. Thank you very much.
You got it. And I've written about that in various places, including the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. The Research Institute is always available when you go to the World Wide Web at equip.org. That's our website. You can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Just a little housekeeping here. Tomorrow, again, on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we're going to have William Dembski talk about his book, The End of Christianity, not in the sense that Christianity is going to end, but the goal of Christianity. What is the goal of Christianity? It is finding a good God in an evil world. How do we reconcile the evil of this world? It's a phenomenal book. It's $22.99 retail. We're putting it in your hands for your gift this month, so please be generous. I want to equip you, and it's one of the reasons I look for good resources, and this certainly is a phenomenal resource. I love what J.P. Moreland, a distinguished professor of philosophy at Biola University, said about this book. He said, happily, there are many good books being written today, but it is rare indeed to find a book that towers above the others in profundity and quality, and that's precisely what The End of Christianity is. It's interesting. It's well-written. You can't put it down. But more importantly, I've read every book that, like this, gives you insights, and this book towers above the rest. Very few books have this depth of insight, breadth of scholarly interaction, and significance. And from now on, no one who is working on a Christian treatment of the problem of evil can afford to neglect this book. It's vintage Dembski, highly recommended. Again, it's available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Also want to mention that when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast, when you become a support team member, I want to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is my way of saying thank you. Also, when you give a gift of $100 or more, I'll send you the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. You could check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And speaking of the web, there's a way of staying connected with the Christian Research Institute. Get our CRIE newsletter. And you'll know about the special events, future broadcasts, featured research articles, special e-store, and Christian Research Journal offers, and so much more. And if you have not signed up yet, When you do so today, you'll receive a free wristband that has on it our moniker, Because Truth Matters. It's available for a limited time as supplies last. You can check it out again on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Go to the front page, click on the Sign Up Today button, and become someone who is connected with a ministry that is making a difference around the world. Also want to advise you again of how important it is for you to read the Christian Research Journal. In the upcoming Christian Research Journal, we'll have a summation, as it were, of the book that we're offering, The End of Christianity, which we'll send to you as our way of saying thank you for a gift this month. So you get the book and the article. But when you get this article, you get an idea of just what a quality magazine the Christian Research Journal is. It's an award-winning magazine. No Christian home should be without. And I hear this over and over again. People get the journal and say, I had no idea what you're talking about. People just do not have any concept until they get this journal. It wins awards time and time again for presentation. It's absolutely beautiful in form, but the form and the function are melded together because we're not only presenting information that's trustworthy and true, but it is augmented by the presentation in which you find it. Christian Research Journal, you can subscribe today at the Christian Research Institute on our website. You can write me at P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Again, that's 28271. And you can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 CRI. Do remember, tomorrow, your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast for William Dembski. We're going to be talking about creationism. We're going to talk about the fall. We're going to talk about all things with respect to origins, and we welcome your call when you dial 888-ASK-HANK on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with William Dembski. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet or to donate to the ministry, just log on to equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to help you. To call a resource consultant, dial 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is furnished by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos. Listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer. Or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter. Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.
Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
New monasticism is a movement of young Christians abandoning the comforts of upper and middle class life and relocating into communes to cultivate social reforms. There are many positive aspects to the new monastic movement. However, their hope of imagining new ways to express the authentic church will come to ruin unless they remain faithful to the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Find out more in Warren Nozaki's article entitled The New Monasticism, A Quest for Spiritual Renewal in the Urban Desert. Other topics include compassionate adoption for the most helpless, the Christian citizen, the popular Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.